Please pray with me. Lord, thank you for your presence. We thank you for speaking to us and with us. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would enable us to lay aside those things that are encumbrances on our hearts and our minds, and that we would be able to hear what you would be saying to each one of us today. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each heart, my own included today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So here we are, Labor Day, right? Celebrate work by playing all day. Isn't that what we end up doing to some degree? I don't know, some of you probably have plans tomorrow. You know, just this morning we were talking about, what are we going to do? It's Monday. It's normally my day off anyways. But what are the different options in front of us? You know, I got tired just thinking about the different options. Because there's way more things to do than you could accomplish in one day anyways, by approaching it that way. It seems like in our culture, people's self-worth is measured by what they can achieve. It seems to be the measurement of what can you do? Even what you offer in society, what can you do? It seems like when people come to a place in their lives where they can't offer the same that they used to before, it seems like our culture almost begins to devalue them rather than lift them up. People are valued for what they can do. And lots of people are headed for burnout. Happens in the church all the time, happens at work. It's really important for us to think about the Sabbath and what that means. The last two Sundays, Jesus has been closely watched on the Sabbath in our gospel lessons. I don't know if you've noticed. You know, last week, he delivered that woman from the spirit that she had for 18 years, and she was bent over and she couldn't stand up and gasp. He healed on the Sabbath. Now today, he's going to someone's house for dinner on the Sabbath, and they are watching him closely. They're thinking about last week and what happened and what's he going to do now. If we practice the Sabbath, we actually practice it, we will seem to ourselves more alive. We will be a better friend to those around us. We will be more present. We will be more joyful. We will be more peaceful. We will be able to actually be at rest. We'll be better able to set boundaries. We'll wake up in the morning and not just immediately grab our phones and check email. Anybody want to admit to that? Before your feet hit the floor, you fumble around and grab your phone and go like this. I saw a few smiles. It's all right. God knows. Okay. You're able to put work down and just be. When is the last time you can look back on your life and say, yeah, on that day, I was able to just be? It might seem like a long time ago. Or maybe you're awesome, and you started your day that way, and today is your day to just be. But I doubt it. Maybe. Biblically, the Sabbath looks like it's one full day of rest. We in New England are terrible at this. I don't know about you, but when I try to rest, all I think about is all the stuff I should be doing instead of resting. You know, there's so much. I don't even have my firewood in yet. I don't know about you, but there's plenty to be done. And to think about a day of rest is astonishing sometimes. But we've got to do it. We just don't stop. We just get more and more and more busy. We think, I can fit one more thing into my life. I don't know how, but I'm going to do it. That's the expectation. Our culture loves heroes. Churches love heroes that will just do everything and drive themselves into the ground. It's really sad, actually. It's not being a good steward of what God's entrusted to us in our time when we allow our brothers and sisters to be driven into the ground by doing, 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 doing. As Christians, we really have got to find this disturbing. What example are we setting to our neighbors? What about to our children? They're watching. They're looking at our lives. They're saying, okay, this is normal to always have something every single night, all day long, and never stop. It's not normal. We were not created for that. It's not God's order. It's not the way that it's supposed to be. You've got to remember, we follow Jesus, who said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. People have all different views of the Sabbath. So the Orthodox view of rest is you do not flip the light switch. Right? You cannot do anything. And that's what the religious leaders last Sunday were getting at Jesus about. You know, he healed on the Sabbath, and he kind of turned it back around on them and said, come on. Who didn't do something for their animals this morning? And they didn't appreciate that. For Christians, many of us go to church on the Sabbath. We view Sunday as the Sabbath. Is church restful for you? For the one or two people that fall asleep during my sermon every week, I think it's restful. And I am glad I am so not offended. I will admit, during intercessory prayer, once or twice, I have fallen asleep in that back pew. And it's been the best rest I've had all week. Jesus doesn't muddy the waters on the Sabbath, on practicing the Sabbath for us. He helps to bring clarity to it. I want to just briefly revisit the gospel lesson that we looked at last week, just to remind us, so that as I'm alluding to it here and there, we have a recollection of what we talked about. It's from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, if you want to turn there in your Bible. It says, now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, woman, you are set free from your ailment. When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, there are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from bondage on the Sabbath day? When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. So this woman is there, and she's been inhibited by this spirit for 18 years. She can't even stand up straight. And Jesus sets her free from what is binding her. He unbinds her, and she's able to finally live more into the life that God has for her to live. And who's the one who was really bound in that account? It was the leader of the synagogue, right? He was truly bound up in the rules and the regulations that Christ came to set us free from. And it's really sad if you think about it from his standpoint. He watched something beautiful that Jesus did, but he was so stuck that he couldn't open his heart up to allow him to change him. Because of what God has done, we can put down our doing and experience his presence and his rest and his delight. Remember that God had set the people free from slavery in Egypt, right? We think about that whole account. Charlton Heston was there. It was amazing, right? Ten Commandments. We read the fourth commandment here with the kids this morning. Remembering that God has freed us from bondage is a key reason to keep the Sabbath. You don't do anything to earn the Sabbath. It's a command. It's not a request or a suggestion. It's because the person that knows you more intimately than yourself, Jesus Christ, the Creator, knows that you need a day of rest. Doesn't matter who you are or where you're from or what your job is or your status in life or your title or your personality or whatever. Everyone needs a Sabbath. In Exodus chapter 31, I want to read a couple of verses. Chapter 31, verses 12 to 17. The Lord said to Moses, "You yourself are to speak to the Israelites. You shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, given in order that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you." What? It's not just about taking a nap. It's to remember that God sanctifies us, makes us holy. It goes on, "You shall keep the Sabbath, because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death." What? "Everyone who does any work on it shall be cut off from among the people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore the Israelites shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant." Covenant. "It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." "It's a sign between me and you, so that you may know I am the Lord who makes us holy." As Jesus came to make us holy through his death and resurrection, the Sabbath is a sign of the coming of Christ and of God who makes us holy. Tim Keller says this: "What does it mean that God rested if he wasn't tired?" Right? We think about God resting on the seventh day, God rested. Ooh, that was a lot of creating. Man, I'm fatigued. Every time God makes something, he looks and says, "It's good." Remember that from the creation account? It's good. He's utterly satisfied with his creation. Then we can rest, and then we can relax. God took a day to enjoy and to relax the work of his hands, and to enjoy the work of his hands. And it's something that we can do as well. We can look back and follow God's model and say, "It is good." So God created rest. 6 days he made the heavens and the earth and everything that was in it, and the seventh day he created rest. How much of God's creation do we enjoy and live in, but we don't enjoy his creation of rest? So from the Old Testament, we can learn God created rest. He's our deliverer, and he makes us holy. I want to say one more time, because of what God has done, we can put down our doing and rest. Let's go back to that gospel lesson again. "Woman, you are freed from what bound you." What a beautiful thing to be told by Jesus. The Sabbath was about setting people free. What was the woman thinking? What a beautiful moment for her. Out of nowhere, Jesus says, "You're free." Freedom. Her whole horizon of life opened up. She could do all the things that she had not been able to do, right? She was restored in the presence of all the leaders, saying she was a daughter of Abraham. We talked about that last week. Her life was completely revolutionized because of what God has done. And God still delivers us today and sets us free from what binds us. The synagogue leader, he was bound up too. We might judge him too harshly. He was trying. He was trying to keep what God had asked him to keep. He wasn't trying to be as mean as he was probably coming across. He just took very seriously the Old Testament and the laws that were there. And he was saying, no, this is not right. What are you doing? You're outside God's law. But he missed the point that the Sabbath is meant to engage our hearts with the God who delivers us. Jesus wanted to deliver two people that day, not just one. Not just the obvious one who was bent over for 18 years. He was trying to wake up the spiritual leader. And then he explained in the law, they were allowed out of mercy for the animals to take care of them. And he didn't want anybody else suffering on the Sabbath either. And that was the precedent for setting people free. Without a knowledge of Jesus and without perspective, we might end up in the same place. Sabbath is not about rules and flipping that light switch and breaking the Sabbath in that way. It's about relationship. Following Jesus Christ is not about rules. It's about relationship. We need God and the Sabbath. It's not about how hard we work to receive the gifts. It's the reality that everything we have from God. And the Sabbath is meant to remind us of that. Goes back to that battle of living stuck in between our performance and even living life from a place of rest. Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. 2 Corinthians, or Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 17 speaks to this for us. And when you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So that legalistic observance of the Sabbath is a shadow of what is to come. Sabbath is the shadow of the reality of Christ, of resting in his presence, of walking with him in relationship in such a way that we aren't torn between performance and living from a place of rest. The Sabbath points us to the reality of Christ and what he's done for us. Because of what God has done, we can put down our doing and experience rest and delight in him. And so what were people's response to that healing of that woman? Do you remember? The entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. They were blown away. I mean, it was just an amazing moment. The people were delighted because of what God had done. The Sabbath is supposed to be a delight. It's a day of rest where we can look back and say, it's very good. There was one group of people who were bound by the laws and the legalism, and they didn't get it. They were not able to experience Sabbath. Then there were the people who got what Jesus did, and they were able to experience it in the fullest measure. Something else that we've been told from time to time is that practicing the Sabbath makes us better workers for the week. You've got to have that day off so you can really crank it out the other six, right? That was the Roman way. That's the way they viewed it. That was not the Jewish way. The Romans thought that the Jews were lazy for having a Sabbath. Rabbi Herschel said, the Sabbath day is a day for the sake of life, not to enhance the productivity of the other 6 days. This is supported, as we talked about, in the creation account, living in communion with God. God created that day of rest. From a place of rest is really the only way we can see who God is and who we are in relation to him. when everything else is clamoring for your attention and life is coming apart and you have demands coming at you from all sides, can you really see who you are in relationship to God? Or are you just surviving from moment to moment, reacting to what's happening around you? It's only in that place of rest that we find our center with God once again. Sabbath rest helps us to find value apart from what we do. How many of you ever been in a new group for the first time and they say, introduce yourself and tell us what you do? Well, my name is Christian Huebner, and I pastor two churches, teach 2 days a week over here, keep bees, saw lumber, and have 4 kids. Right? It's not, my name is Christian Huebner, my life has been redeemed from the pit by Jesus Christ, and I want to love him and serve him forever. Can you imagine if you said that? People would look at you like you have 3 heads. Our identity is wrapped up in what we do, not who we are or whose we are. Where should we find our value and our true identity? Right now you're thinking, all right, Pastor, that's great. What do I do? What do I do, right? Yeah, exactly. To experience wonder, awe, and gratitude 1 day a week. No. Some practical things we can look at when we approach the Sabbath. Prepare for it, okay? If you've got something super pressing that absolutely has to get done the next day, and the next day is the day that you're holding as a Sabbath day, just do it the night before. You know, you can get some things out of the way. Pray and ask God what's going to bring you and your family rest. If you need some laundry for the next morning, get your kid to do it the night before, like we do. Set boundaries that will help you rest. What if you shut off your Wi-Fi for a day? Painful, right? Sabbath is the symbol of the reality of Christ. Enter into traditions in your life that are life-giving and that point you to the reality of Christ, and remember how God has provided. Spend time with Jesus. Enjoy creation. Sabbath is a window to eternity. Commune with God from a place of rest on that day. Sometimes we're afraid to stop. I don't know, it might be hard for us. If I stop the pace that I'm living at right now, will I be able to start it up again? Because I have to the next day. God can provide for you. If your stopping causes you to crash a little bit, then you really needed to rest with God, and the pace you were keeping was unhealthy. Silence and rest can sometimes show us how messy we are on the inside, so we keep all the external noise up, so that we can never turn the focus to what's going on in us and what God wants to do in us. Walk into the mess with Jesus. Don't be afraid of it. If I stop on one day, will I still be able to provide? I need that 7th day of income so my family will be okay financially. God does not call us to something in obedience and not provide for us if we follow it. God will provide in our obedience. He will take care of us. Maybe we feel ruled by our schedule and we can't take a Sabbath. There's too much going on. I've got these practices to get to. Life is just too crazy. I'll do Sabbath after sports season is over. Who is the God of our lives? Who is the God of our schedule? Is our schedule the God of our lives, or is Christ the God of our lives? Pray and offer our schedules up to him and let him rule and reign and say, God, I don't know how to make space in my life. Please show me. He will show you. If he asks you to do something, he will be faithful and will make a way. Do you feel more comfortable working than playing? You ever feel uncomfortable just playing, maybe, I don't know, the other day I was at a friend's house and he was working on my son's fishing pole and his little 5-year-old boy comes up to me and he says, play with me. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm supposed to be fishing poles with my
older son,
but I'm not like, eh, why not? So I went over and played with a 5-year-old on swings. It was fun. You should try it. Can you imagine what life would be like if we actually took a Sabbath rest? We would be the most refreshed, relaxed people. We would be so much fun to be around. This church would be packed. Right? People would be coming to be with us because of the testimony they were seeing. What? They could work 6 days, make a living, and still have fun? And they're smiling? What a testimony. But instead, how are you doing this week? Oh, busy, but good. Now, I'm not judging you if you just said that, because I've said the same phrase, okay? People would look at us and say, they know how to love one another. They know how to love God. They are countercultural in the best way. So I want to invite us to pray and to ask God how He wants you to celebrate the Sabbath and keep it with Him. There's a space each of us can make in our lives to remember that Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath, that we are called into it, and it's not about rules, but it's about that relationship. In the name of Christ, amen.
Amen.